All right, folks, welcome back. This is the third installment of the Bob Does Sports podcast. We are here today with a big friend of the pod here, Bryson.
Great What's up,
to
guys?
Have you here, man.
And, glad to be here. Thank you.
So Bob's not going to be with us today, but we're going to get him to join in a little bit. And we had the privilege of getting to do some filming with you yesterday and today. And one of the things that really intrigues me is just how you want to grow the game of golf and how you want to establish your, you know, kind of your way into the social media platform with everything you have going on and what the, you know, whatnot. How do you anticipate that's gonna turn out for you?
That's a lot of one question, I guess.
Coming but
no, thanks for having me on, guys. This is fun. You guys were awesome yesterday. We had a great time. FP, I was impressed with your golf game.
Whoa.
Wow.
Thanks, bud.
I was actually.
I appreciate it. Took a little while to warm up, but
that's about, once you got going, it was mightily impressive. So I was happy with that. Cold cuts, I mean,
I struggled a little.
Struggle bus, but that's okay.
We bring the entertainment. That's what we do,
right.
Though.
That's right. I mean, look, it's a sensitive topic, obviously, right now with growing the game in regards to where I'm at and in my career. And you know, with Live Golf, I understand it. I think down the road, people will eventually understand what's going on, what they're trying to accomplish. But as of now, like with the resources that I now have, I'm very blessed. I mean, this opportunity has allowed me to do things in Dallas that I never thought were possible this quickly and early in my life. And so giving back for me is going to be a huge aspect to this. I would say one of the most important things is junior golf. Mm-hmm. One of the pillars of my foundation, the Bryson DeChambeau Foundation, is junior golf. Secondly, it's health. So my dad had diabetes or has diabetes, and he's lost a leg and a foot because of it. Has gotten a kidney from the National Kidney Foundation through a good friend, high school friend of his. So the National Kidney Foundation is huge for me. Shriners Hospitals, I won the PGA event there, so I still support them, and we'll continue to do so. And then St. Jude as well is one I want to give to. And I'm coming up with different ideas and thoughts of who else to give to based on, you know, what I believe is right and what, you know, charity organization is doing the right things around the world. And then lastly, education. I've got an interesting idea, and this is a lot. I know I'm trying to explain
this.
No,
we want to hear it all,
but,
man.
You know, education is something I'm very passionate about. When I was younger, I was never great in school, but I was super dedicated to being the best and find distinct advantages, and that's why I was able to have straight A's, but it took me two or three times as long to study and get things through my head to figure stuff out. And I'm like, why don't I just get it? I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. Well, partially it was because it wasn't relative to what I loved. I was not really truly interested in it. And so one of the things that I thought of was like, well, shoot, like what if we could build an education system where you loved what you learned? Yeah. So you learned everything about what you love. Right. And so for me, it was golf. As I started relating education to golf, I become immediately interested in all the subject matters around that. So whether it was reading, writing, history, math, science, whatever it was, sure. I became super interested and allowed me to focus on that. So I came up with two questions of why our education system isn't doing as well. One of them is, well, they're not interested when they're growing up because it's not something they want to do. Right. Yeah. Like you're a kid, you want to go out and ride your bike or do something else.
The
right?
School's not on the top of the priority.
No, no. But what if you could learn about riding a bike? You know, became immediately interested in that. And then it specializes you a little bit quicker. So the second problem is you get in college, you're like, I don't know what I want to do with my life after school.
Yeah.
It's always just a hogpash of like, well, I just got to figure it out now. Rather than, oh, hey, I know already what I want to do because I'm extremely interested. I'm passionate for it. I love it. And I've learned a lot about it already. Right. So that's kind of my education pillar.
It's funny that you say that you weren't that great in education because like the stigma of you in golf is that you're like this mad scientist and like you kind of know all this stuff and you're reading, you got all these, you know, plyometrics that you're looking at.
Yeah, and that makes sense to what you're saying is like that the math, science, the engineering, all that stuff started to like be interesting to you when it related to the golf swing and angles and things like that.
So that's
it's
exactly
like,
right.
We all in school, we have like, you know, you have like, you know, word problems, right? And like, yeah. like in math, like Lisa's got 8 bananas.
Yeah, exactly.
She gave 2 to Cindy, and like how many bananas? Like, let's say I don't give a shit about bananas, right? right? And if it's like, you know, you have a golf swing, you speed up, you know, your swing by 2 miles an hour, right. and you come a little bit from this angle. Exactly. Like, what's the change in the torque? Like, and then you're like, whatever. Oh, like I can picture that, I can understand that, yep. and I want to learn about that. So it makes total sense what you're saying.
You got it. And so that's what we're going to be doing. I'm building a multi-sport complex center here in Dallas, getting some land right now, and then going to put a charter school in there eventually. And tied into my foundation, so that's my overall plan
awesome.
With it. And
that's awesome,
I'm excited about that. It's definitely a new level, new venture for me. You know, golf has always been the reason to why I've been somewhat successful in life, and it will continue to be so, and do so hopefully, God willing. But I will say that because I've got these resources now, I've got more responsibility. Than ever before.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing that people don't realize. You know, I'm putting the money back here in Dallas and paying taxes here, right? And helping infrastructure, sure. helping people in communities and whatnot.
Well, people, but, I think, assume that the whole thing's, you know, to some extent is a money grab. And, you know,
it definitely,
players are being greedy and they just want more. Like, isn't enough. But it's like when you talk about what you can do with the money, it's not just, you're not just like, I have more money in my bank account. It's I can do all these things in your community where you're from that this opportunity affords you that you couldn't do before. Yep. So it makes you feel better about what you're doing. You're making an impact, something that lasts more than, you know, the third round of golf of some tournament, right?
Right.
It's something that has an impact.
And I respect people's viewpoints of when is enough enough. I totally get that.
Yeah.
I respect that because people work 9-to-5 jobs that aren't making anywhere near it. I totally get that. But there are ways, you know, in that 9-to-5 job to be able to save up enough to get yourself free from those strangleholds. There are ways to do it, and it takes a lot of hard work, but
sure.
There's a book that I read, The Richest Man in Babylon, that actually helped me understand finances initially, right off the bat, of how to save your money, how to put it towards the right things, and then also just how to be associated with the right people. That's a big thing. Relationships sure. in life are so important.
Absolutely.
And the reason why I've been successful is the people that I have around me. Not necessarily because of my thought process or anything. It's because of other people's help in regards to wanting to care and take care of me.
Well, it's also very clear how genuine you are about giving back.
Yeah.
That's not a question.
So it's so important, and it comes across.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And it means a lot to me because I grew up with not much. I mean, my family, Fresno, California, my mom and dad still live there in the same house I grew up in.
Yeah.
And they're just about to move up out to Dallas because they're my mom's going to retire. But I remember walking door to door during the summer months because my parents didn't have the full funds to go play junior golf events, asking for money at different houses. I'd go up to the door. Hey, I'm playing junior golf. My name is Bryson Shambo. You know, we're struggling a bit for money. Is there any way you can sponsor me a little bit to give me some money
it's
so
insane,
I can go play?
Man. One of the things we collaborated with Bo Hosser too. He's a great guy. And one of the things that he was telling us, which I think a lot of people don't really realize, is just how hard it is to kind of get into the game. And like when you're trying to establish a name for yourself, like just how hard it is to kind of get yourself situated and get set up. And I think a lot of people don't realize like the struggles that go into trying to become a professional golfer. It's like hearing his story is unbelievable. And I'm sure you have something similar where it's just like,
he beat me at Junior World.
San Diego. I hope that's not your mood point. I didn't want to bring that up.
No, I'm okay with it. I love it because what's funny is that week changed my entire life. I'd always looked up to the Junior Worlds as being like, that's the tournament I want to win. I've got to win this event. And when I was 17, I was giving myself my best chance. And I shot like 32 on the back nine going in, birdied the last few holes, and Bo Hosser just absolutely decimated it and beat me by 3 or something like that. But that week changed my life because Josh Gregory from SMU just went to SMU. He won the national championship with Augusta State. Past couple years, I think 2010, 2011, and then 2012 he went to SMU, and he recruited me, and he offered me my first full ride at a school that was that high up there, and I was like, look, he just won 2 national championships. I'm totally willing to put myself behind that coach.
For.
Yes, right, exactly. So I was like, Yeah. So I actually committed to SMU without even seeing the campus.
That's great.
Wow. Seeing Dallas.
It's funny how things kind of work out like that sometimes, where you think, you know, you have something in mind and you want to pursue something and it turns out completely different, but
correct.
Ultimately turns out for the best, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing in life. You've got to, well, look, when one door closes, another opens, and you never have to think like, oh, this is it. I can't live life without this. There's always going to be more opportunities down the road, no matter what you do.
One of the other things that's crazy is, I mean, the fact that we're in the same space now in social media. I mean, you have a, you know, we're not exactly like anything to marvel at, you know, from a golf perspective. Perez is a good player. But my point is, it's funny. It's like, that's the beauty, I think, of social media and what it's bringing to the game, is that someone like you, who's so established and well done, you know, well accomplished on, you know, professional level, can come into the same space as a bunch of friends who are just going out and shooting the shit and having fun and golfing, and we can collab and we can do different things.
Exactly.
And it makes it appealing for people to see that, like, golf can be fun. Like, mm-hmm. it's for me, this is why I love what we do. This is why I enjoy what we do so much. Because when people hit me up and they say, we're building the game of golf, and I'm like, we're putting videos out on YouTube. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. But it makes it appealing and it makes it enjoyable. And I think, like, breaks down a lot of the stigmas that golf has, which I think for us is the most enjoyable aspect of it. And now to have you working with us is so awesome. And like, it's just like, it's just kind of insane how that platform works, that everybody can kind of get it incorporated within it and can grow the game in their own way.
Yeah. And that's the cool part. And I think, look, growth in the game, people have their own opinions on it, and definitely a sensitive topic, but no matter what, you putting your money, your resources, your time towards the game of golf in some capacity that showcases how enjoyable, fun, and fun it is while developing relationships, that's what this game is all about. That's why it's so beautiful. And whether you know, it's the PGA Tour or your local chapter section, or you know, you just going out and playing a game of, you know, Nassau or whatever it is you're doing, you're enhancing the game of golf by continuing to play the game, by continuing to go out and play and play 9, 18, whatever it is. It is so important for people to see, like, look, that is a part of the ecosystem of growing the game. Mm-hmm. And in whatever capacity you can provide, it's important. You trying to shoot down other people for trying to come up with new ideas around the game of golf, not necessarily, I would say, is a positive thing. Why would you do that? Mm. Why would you do that? I mean, like, foot golf, for example, right?
Right.
I know you guys talked about that in one of your videos.
We did, yeah. We saw
it. Like fling golf. Like, there's that one where you like,
yeah,
there's
disc golf. That's a big year golf. Sure. Yeah.
So any avenue off of that is kind of fun. It's awesome. I mean, look at what Drive, Chip, and Putt's doing. I think it's amazing.
Awesome.
I think what Augusta's doing is fantastic. I think it's awesome. So from my perspective, anything you do to help get more people into the game, getting a golf ball into a hole, it's awesome.
And I'll say this. I mean, you know your shit when it comes to like the YouTube and like the social media. Like when we were, even yesterday, like when you see the players on tour, you don't necessarily get that picture of them. But even yesterday, like they get it. They know what's up. Like you come into the camera, like you know the game, and you're like, it's impressive to take that second step.
It's really cool.
I've learned a lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all do, but not everybody can do it. I mean, you're building on there as well as your golf career.
It humanizes players too, so when they come on the channel, like people can get a different aspect that they just don't see from day to day. The funny, the funny remarks, the little jokes,
dude,
isn't that
we made
and
a
people
hilarious
love
video
that
yesterday.
So much. I think it's really cool to see that you guys are regular people. You go out, you probably have fun golfing just like we do when we're with our boys, and people don't see that. Yep. So it's really cool.
I appreciate that, and that's exactly what, the message I want to get across. People don't understand that, albeit I love practicing, and I'm dedicated to my craft and being a professional and trying to shoot the lowest score possible. There's some days where I just want to go out at sunset and just have fun and kick it with the boys.
How impressive was it? I mean, no, I know he's a pro and one of the best in the world, but you're out there for 4 hours in the heat and they hit the range before and we're like, fuck, we got to get out of here. And we like turned around. Bryson was back on the range, just smacking balls. And we're like, holy shit.
Him and Martin
like,
were both out
some
there.
Some guys are built. I mean, you know, it makes sense.
Chet was fascinated by that.
Well, no, he just walked to the range. I was like, get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it was so hot, man. I was like, I just need to go to the pool and the AC. And Bryce, it's like stingers. I'm like, this is why I did. This is why he plays for a living.
Exactly.
Well, it's because I'm semi passionate about the game. I was going to say semi psychotic, but that doesn't sound good.
It can be the same.
Yeah, it can be. That's actually a zealot. I'm a zealot. in regards to being better.
One of the other things we wanted to talk about is your diet and how I mean, he's obviously fire, for those of you watching at home, he's eating during this, and it's he's we talked about this yesterday. You have now a specialized chef who's helping you out now, and you look lean, dude. You look like way different. Yeah. I thought we were gonna get big macho Bryson out here, but you look good, man.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Just like you guys, y'all look good too. So
we look well eaten.
Well, it's also specialized.
But tell us about like just the importance that nutrition plays in your training and your preparation for golf and how important it is to you.
So when I went on this journey of trying to get, you know, hit the ball farther and get longer, I went on this dirty bulk and I just ate anything and everything.
Cottage cheese?
Yeah, well, no, worse stuff than that. I mean, I'm talking like donuts and just terrible stuff for your body. And I didn't realize how it would affect me. I tried to eat, you know, have or drink healthy protein shakes. Didn't really help because I just kept chugging 50 of them pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's fine for a dirty bulk and trying to gain size. But I got up to 241 pounds at one point. And, you know, in college, I was 195 pounds.
Yeah.
So, crazy. You know, I didn't look super fat, but I was definitely chubby. I was very, very chubby and thick. And that was when I pretty much won the U.S. Open. During that time frame, which is awesome, shows I can be, you know, in that state and still win and play good golf. But I just looked at myself. I'm like, I don't like the way I look. I feel terrible. I feel heavy and everything, and it's not good. So I decided to start slowly leaning down over time. Don't want to just do stuff too quick. And my eating habits, I'm very bland. So I love, you know, chicken, rice, steak, very bland stuff that's not necessarily always healthy for you. And I just recently took a gut biome test. I'm allergic to so many things that I love. So many things.
I'm scared to take one of those things. Half the stuff that you like eating, you realize is not good for
eggs,
you.
Eggs, dairy, corn. Like, corn is in everything. People don't realize corn is. So I'm not trying to be like a health nut here, but I'm learning so much more now. And just in the 2.5 days that I've had, that I had a chef meal prep for me, for five days, and I've been eating these meals and smoothies and healthy like snacks, I've lost 4 pounds in 3 days.
So has that affected
consuming
your game?
No. Well, if anything, it's allowing me to have, because I was so fatigued all the time. My head was foggy. And now I feel like I don't have to have as much water. I don't have to have as much, like there's good stuff finally being used in my body compared to what was being used before. It was just getting stuck in there and just not going out. But what I was going to say is that I feel so much better just over the 3 days of having crazy. Someone. So I feel like it's a great investment for me at my level to be able to do that. And just consciously thinking about it every day is tough to do. It's not sustainable either. You can't just eat the same thing every single day.
Yeah, man. You it's can't not have sustainable. Rice every day for three weeks.
No chance. That's not healthy one bit. Mentally, it's not healthy is what I mean. And so, I'm sensitive to rice, by the way. So like, I can't have rice. It's brutal. Like, I don't know what I can do. But she's done a great job. Carry Out, that's her services. It's called Carry Out. She's been awesome. But anyway, I'm testing it out, and you know, when I move to the new place, she's probably going to be there for a long time for all my buddies that are here. I mean, we got three or four people, three people that live here. It's a glorified frat house, I guess you could say.
That's
here.
Awesome. Think tank.
It is. Well, it's a creative house for sure.
We met one of your buddies yesterday, Martin's just a great guy, German, amazing. Long drive champion.
Bombs.
This guy's just an absolute, I called him Big Red out there. He's just a
Viking.
Force. And I thought he was going to kind of be a little bit like kind of withheld, but he got out there and he loves the camera, man. This guy is an entertainer.
100%. That's why we brought him on board at Regency. I mean, that was the one thing I wanted to have great golfers in their aspect or in their field that, are literally able to showcase a different side of the game of golf. They're entertainers.
We got Robbie calling because he wanted to join in on a couple questions. Obviously, Robbie's feeling under the weather. Let's bring him in here. Bob?
Joseph?
You're on the Bob Does Sports podcast. What's up, bud?
Beautiful.
Featuring Bob.
You're on your own podcast without being here. So
way to go.
Kind of like, what is it like Inception right now? So, Bryson's right here. You had a couple questions, no?
Yeah, let me get some Bryson action for a second here.
All right, he's here. We got you, Bob.
Is the big fella on?
He's here. Yeah, he's listening to you.
Right here, my man. Bryson, what's up, dude? How you doing?
Let me tell you, man.
I'm good,
what
bro.
An absolute dagger for this to happen at this time.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's more like a Excalibur, but that's okay.
Yeah, I think one could say.
I'm kidding, though.
Bryson, I got two questions for you, okay? And then I'm gonna let you be with the boys.
Perfect. Love it, man.
Question one, okay? From your standpoint, not from what you've heard, just from your standpoint, 1 to 10. How hungover was Fat Perez coming to your house this morning?
I've hit it well.
He's done pretty good. Yeah. I mean, Bobby isn't showing it much.
To be honest, he's like a 4 right now.
He's doing pretty good.
And you're doing good.
Inside of me, it's a 10.
And I could sniff that out pretty quickly, too. So
it's bad.
I love it.
Perez got after it last night.
Oh, did you really?
I did.
You look really well capped this morning.
I am not in a good spot. I'm having chills, and I'm just holding it. I'm holding it together.
Wow, I misread that.
I've never been so excited to watch my own podcast.
Love it.
Bryson, I got one more for you, and I'll let the boys go.
Yeah.
When I watch you, even from a YouTube standpoint, like with from a content, you just seem like you have a ball doing content, filming content, like kind of doing what we're doing. Had the tour been more open to giving access to the so-and-so influencer, copyright for content, and all of that, do you think that would have affected major decision any harder than it already was?
Yes, I can absolutely answer that to be 100% true.
Yeah. It just seems like you have a ball going out filming almost as much fun as you have, you know, playing pro.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that I talked to the tour extensively about, trying to figure out, hey, how can we all work together to make content and how can I benefit off of it as well as you guys.
Right.
I mean, we sign our media rights off every single week, and I respect that, and that's just the way it's set up. But trying to convince them and have them see the light of day where let's make it mutually beneficial. They would say, oh yeah, we're growing your brand and, you know, we're providing you exposure. And I said, okay, I understand that, but why isn't there anything else than that? You know, I've already got a huge following. How is it going to increase my following even more? I don't see it. I don't understand it. Why can't I monetarily gain from it as well, just like you guys are gaining?
Right. Makes sense.
You know, and so that it's not being greedy. It's more of being mutually beneficial and fair and equitable. That's the way I look at it from producing a product. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, and it seems regardless of what you think about Liv, there's no question that it has opened the PGA's now mind to where they kind of have to, because of the access that Liv has given to guys like us, they kind of have to be a little more open-minded to it. So I'm appreciative for them for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things, you guys coming out there, they would love to have you out. There's no doubt they would love to have you guys come out and do some fun stuff, fun content. So they're all about. They want to help showcase the game of golf in a new, unique way. And I think that's what you guys do as well.
Yeah, well, we try.
No, you do a good job. You got a lot of huge following. Try. Come on.
I mean, when I'm shanking a ball, I don't know how much that's improved. But I do agree.
People can relate.
That's right.
True. Relatability is my biggest asset, I guess, in the YouTube space. But, well, Bob, we miss you. We miss you dearly. We wish you could be here. Obviously, we'll have to reconnect with you, Bryce,
yes,
when Bob's here, because obviously it's Bob Does Sports. He's a major contributor of everything we do and has brought, you know, all of us together. And it's just he's just an awesome time and one of the most positive people you'll ever meet on the golf course. So, Bob, we hope you feel better, and we can't wait to get you back out here soon, man.
Yeah. Well,
hey, knock them dead, fellas. Bryce, and we appreciate you coming on, man.
Thanks, Bob. Yeah, no problem. And we're going to have to get out and play some golf soon.
Bob, you got to watch this guy hit a golf ball, man.
That's crazy.
And Martin.
And Martin, yeah.
I can't wait.
You felt a little bit subconscious of your drives beforehand. Once you try to tee off after these two guys, it's a little belittling, to be honest.
he's gonna give the jet hell with that shot tracer.
Yeah, that's gonna go out of the screen.
It's gonna go off the screen. Yeah. There was one shot yesterday, Bob, where it was a dog leg right, and Bryson, I guess he played the course before, fine. So he goes, this is the line you got to do, and it looked like he was hitting in the middle of the suburbs.
He went over people's
front yards. And Martin, they blasted a drive so far right, I was like, that thing's gone, and they were both on the green. It was really amazing to watch. No, Jet, even Jet was impressed.
On the last hole, you had a wedge into a par 5, like a sand wedge into the par five.
Number eight, yeah.
Yeah, it was unreal. That was just, but we have to get you out here, Bob, and connect, because it's a lot of fun being able to film with this guy.
Hey, knock him dead, boys.
All right, Bob.
See you,
Bob.
Hey, get better, man.
Still on the live topic, but just a little bit different from it. What from like the competitive, like tournament aspect, formatting, the teams and all that, what from like a competition perspective are you most excited about?
I think building the teams. Building the teams out and then starting to have rivalries.
Okay.
Actual rivalries on the tour. I mean, you know, you had Brooks and I on tour last year, and you had Tiger and Phil. You had numerous like, you know, VJ and Tiger, and then Ernie and Tiger and whatnot, but you've never had like a group of people, you know,
like team.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like,
well, still very NFL's fresh got too, teams, right? So I think that's going to have to establish itself. How are you and Brooks these days?
I mean, personally, I have the utmost respect for him and the decisions he made moving to live, because I for both of us, I think we both respect each other a lot more now, because it was not an easy decision, and we both understand how difficult it was to go this route, per the social implications, per the financial implications. Albeit it was very positive for both of us. I mean, there was definitely a chance that, you know, this may not work out, sure, and we would lose everything, right? You know, so I have the utmost respect for him. No issues. Do we see eye to eye all the time? Probably not.
But it kind of played up a little bit too, would you say? Or was there actually like a little bit of tension there during the match and that time?
There definitely was tension.
Yeah.
It was not, we're just going to go have fun and make money. This is like, no, we want to demolish you, and he demolished me. He definitely beat me that round, you know, which is fair play to him. I have no issues with it. It's golf. You win some, you lose some.
That's a tough environment too, though. When you're doing it, it's televised, and the way that it was, it's got to be hard to kind of, you know, there's everything so much going on. Yeah.
But you just got to deal with it.
Yeah. Did the Ryder Cup help with that? That you guys were on the same team
for that week?
In terms of squash,
was nice for that week, but after that, it's
back to normal business.
Yeah.
I got a question about back before when you changed your body the first time.
Yeah.
Were you expecting the reaction? Like, were you prepared for how polarizing it was going to be? And was after that, did you notice that you were getting, say, more respect afterwards from the guys, or guys were like, what's this guy doing?
It was a mix of both. I think when I did accomplish winning the U.S. Open, when I won,
right,
that was big for people to go, wow, he accomplished that after changing his whole body. I respect him for that. There's still people that go, he's psycho and weird and a unique dude, and, you know, I don't know, whatever they thought about me.
Well, you took a chance. I mean, but you did your thing, and then you proved your, I mean, you won the U.S. Open, so.
Huge risk.
That's kind of winning.
You know?
Yeah.
And I won Arnold Palmer. I won Rocket Mortgage, you know, and then I had an injury. Right. Me being stupid and me not taking care of my hands. I took care of everything else besides just my hand.
How is your hand doing now? Are you feeling better?
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, you guys can see it. You know, I always have a smile on my face.
You look like you were striking the ball so good yesterday. Yeah, and I haven't seen, you know, like you recently. Obviously, you did very well recently in the you know, British Open. Mm-hmm. Which was awesome to see. But you look like you're just feeling really loose out there.
I'm getting my form back finally. It's taken a year and about a year. Right around this time, I started playing well. Caves Valley, I played really well.
Yeah.
But there was something I did back in 2018 that helped me win four times. I was just incredibly consistent, had my game on lock, and I figured some stuff out with my golf swing. 2019, I started to tinker around with some stuff and didn't have the form that I did in 2018. And then I got kind of bored with golf because it just wasn't enjoyable for me. I was getting a lot of harsh criticism. You know, the fans or people just weren't on my side at all, and I was by myself, and I didn't have anybody around me to, you know, true friends to help me out. And I'm just like, man, I don't know what to do. I got to change something. I got to do something to make it more interesting for me, because in the end of the day, like, I don't want to be here doing this. And even in 2021, when I was getting a lot of hate as well, it's just, you get to a certain point where you just belittle someone so much, you just push them out of. There's no incentive for me to keep going. And I was lucky enough to have a good friend, Chris Pratt, help me out with understanding, look, the character you are out there, that's what they're presenting you to be. And you either got to play that character, or you have to just remove yourself, you know, because the character you are, or the person you are at home, is not the character you are out there.
Yeah.
Like, especially in an entertainment.
It's like an actor walking onto the stage, you know.
100%. And when I heard that, I was like, okay, maybe I could do this. That doesn't mean I've been fake. It just means that when I'm mad or frustrated, I can't show anything. There's just zero emotion. You can't do it because they're going to villainize you and make you that type of person as time goes on. All the good moments and all the reactions, the positive reactions, that's mean. That's me being natural, being really happy about when I play well. But on the other side, you got to be a professional and you can't truly show your emotions, which is too bad because it's shortening the entertainment product. It's shortening what I could provide from an entertainment
perspective. That being said, I will say, and Perez and I talked about this on a prior episode, golf, when you get too emotional in golf, it impacts your game in a big, big way. It doesn't help.
Well, but look at Tiger, though. Look how mad he would get, and it would almost fuel him sometimes.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
So there's
Tiger's a special breed.
He's very special. Yeah. But there are times I'd never forget when I got super, super mad on the golf course, and I go birdie the next three holes.
Yeah.
So I never correlated being frustrated to bad golf. If that was the case, I would have never gotten mad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
Like from my perspective, I would have never done that had I known that affected me in a negative way.
Sure.
Right. So that's kind of the tough part for me. That's why I always struggled with my attitude growing up was like when I got frustrated, it made me more passionate and more focused and allowed me to work harder and go birdie, birdie, birdie or whatever and play well. And that was the tough part for me because I'm like, now what do? I have to use that to my advantage to play better. But if I don't, then I'm just going to be lollygagging around like, oh, everything's okay. A kumbaya sort of mentality. I don't want that either. Right.
Well, so there's some guys who give nothing. Like Patrick Cantlay to me is one of the most boring people to watch golf because he gives nothing, but it works for him. Right. Whereas there's other people who
Iceman,
you know, who emit a ton of emotion. I am a mental head case when I play. Yeah.
Jordan emits emotion and he's passionate.
I mean, but plays well. You know, I think it's entertaining in that sense from what you're saying. So that's going to be a little bit tough for you to kind of rein that back, no?
It definitely is because I am a character. I'll tell you, I can go full bore. Like even yesterday,
even with just playing us, you want to win. There's that natural competitor in you.
But also off camera too, like, It's even more different because, you know, on camera, you still got to be somewhat professional and respectful and whatnot. But, you know, I'm just a kid at heart. I love messing around, having buddies around. I mean, that's why I've got my best friends living in my house because
that's awesome.
It's just fun. It's a fun environment. I enjoy it. Martin Borgmeyer, he's what, in his 30s and he's got a kid and he's coming over here acting like a kid. I mean, this is what we're doing over here.
Well, we really appreciate you taking some time out this week for us, man. It's been awesome meeting you. We're going to have some videos coming out, obviously on your page, on our page. I think you guys are going to really love it. And thanks again for everything, man. It's been awesome. The only regret is that obviously Bob wasn't here to join us, but no, man, it's been really cool getting to meet you. Perez, Jed, anything else you want to add or?
Yeah, come on. You haven't said much, Perez. Come on.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm violently hungover right now. I'm in my head talking about masking emotions. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm masking a hangover.
How was the hot sauce challenge?
Oh, you tell me. God, man. It, you know, it's funny. It's like in the beginning, it was fine. And it's this thing where you know what's coming. It's like, it's so like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, you know, you're walking through a door and someone's going to hit you with the bat. Like, you're walking through a bunch of doors and you know one of these doors, someone's going to hit you with the bat. Mm-hmm. That's what it felt like. It was like, is this going to be the one? Is this going to be the one? And then finally you got to the one and it was like,
it was pretty bad.
This is horrible. And I have two more hot sauces left.
Oh my gosh.
And you're trying to play golf. It's hot. You know, we're drinking milk out there to try to like, get
was it warm milk?
It got warm. By the time we needed it, it was.
Yeah.
By the seventh hole, it was warm, but it didn't make a difference. But this was Perez's first like official challenge that we've done, which is great. We want to get him more involved because he's just hysterical.
We did speed golf. You guys tried to kill me with that.
Speed golf, but like, I think this was the easiest one that we've done. If I'm being honest, I'm pretty good with spice. The hot dog challenge was the worst.
You seem solid with spice. You just layered one on.
Yeah, I got a little ahead of your skis. Too cocky with the hardest sauce, and it hit me like a bag of bricks. But that being said, I mean, it's just these are fun things that like what we said to you yesterday is like people can watch our challenges, and you don't even need to know too much about golf and just find the entertainment value high, and like it kind of ropes people in, and people are like, these guys are hysterical, and then they all of a sudden they're watching us on the next video do a three-man scramble and we're playing golf. So that's kind of our way to kind of introduce people into our world and kind of bring them into the wackiness that we have. Jet's been involved in all of them.
Well, I mean it's just super cool to like be sitting here with Bryson, like the fact that we're just like, it's wild. And like just from the end, like even little things in golf, like the drive at Bay Hill that you hit and the drive at the Ryder Cup, like that random shit that nobody else provides. Like, It's a real entertainment value. And after seeing you yesterday, I mean, I think you got a future in the game, man.
Thanks. I'm working hard to be a professional.
You got Jet on your side, but
thanks.
But lots of fun, man. Thanks so much again. This is our third installment of Bob Does Sports Podcast, and hope you enjoyed. Tune in and
subscribe.
Thank you. And like, subscribe. Comment. Yes, like,
always.
Comment, subscribe. Yes.
Thank you, Bryson.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.